Hello?
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah? So the only thing I got was the voicemail I left you.
Fucking for God's sake.
Okay, so let's just go. And because it is recording now, I can see it. Like, it literally, like...
Go!
Okay,
go.
The timer went to, like, 10 seconds, and then it just froze. But there was no recording at all.
God's sakes.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, December 15th, 2018. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Beau is here with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So we just recorded about 15 minutes, and due to technical issues, it's gone. And we were going to have a really short show.
Probably the worst possible moment that this could have ever happened.
Yes, because we were going to have a short show anyway, because we were recording only while Yvonne is driving from the airport to home at like after 2 a.m, his time, after a comedy of errors of trying to figure out whether Yvonne and I could even record this week. And Ed couldn't record as a co-host. Nobody else answered my query. My wife was going to record with me, and then she fell asleep. And then I'm talking to Yvonne. And then we recorded a whole thing on the new chief of staff. We are not going to try to redo that. We're doing lightning rounds. We're doing 4 topics at a time, then a break, then 4 topics at a time. And as soon as Yvonne gets home, we're done. And he's probably got less than a half an hour till home at this point. And he's almost asleep. Like, so we're going to keep him awake while he drives home. That's the goal.
Yay! Okay. All right.
So sorry you didn't hear our wonderful insights about Mulvaney as the new chief of staff and all the trouble Donald Trump had to find one, or various other things that we talked about, duct tape and bets and things like that. So sorry you missed it.
Next topic.
There was a court ruling about Obamacare in Texas stating that Obamacare was completely unconstitutional.
The moment I saw this news flash, I actually read it, and I'm just like, oh, this is comedic, and everybody's going to go freak out about it. But the ruling doesn't mean, like right now, that Obamacare has been declared unconstitutional. There's a judge that looked at the case that was presented, and that's his interpretation, okay?
Right. Well, he has declared it unconstitutional,
but there is no injunction.
And this will be appealed, and it's going to go through the courts. Everybody seems to expect that the higher courts, including perhaps the Supreme Court, if it even makes it that far, will disagree with this, and we're done.
Yes, because look, this case had already gone up all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that it was constitutional. And so I don't really see how this case gets very far. The people who had been filing these cases, you know, one of the things that you try to do, you probably file multiple of these cases around the country in order to try to find a judge who maybe will give you a sympathetic ear to your opinion, okay? And give you this ability to be able to bring up the case. But it has no impact right now on enrollment or anything. So I don't have an expectation that this will... I mean, unless, as a scenario, the only scenario that Sam said would be a problem is if Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies.
Yes.
Then it would be a problem. But as the court is currently constituted, the people who had upheld it are still there.
Yeah.
So
critically, like, Kennedy was one of the dissenters last time. So even if Kavanaugh votes the same way as Kennedy did, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right. So I don't expect anything to happen of this unless some change in the Supreme Court were to happen. And I really don't think that the appeals circuit would even let it. I don't think that it would get beyond the appeal circuit. I think that it would went to appeal. They would go and they would look at the Supreme Court and they'd say, well, this judge, whatever he rolled, this is, you know, according to precedent, this is not valid. And they would toss it aside. And even if they went up to SCOTUS, they'd probably look at it. Well, we already ruled on this. I don't know what you're doing here again. Bye. That's what I would think. But on the other hand, I do think that the one thing that this could provide an impetus to right now, given that we have a Democratic House,
right,
is that many of us have said that there, all of us that are sane, okay, do agree that there need to be a certain series of fixes to the ACA as the law stands right now. And I think it would be a great moment for the House right now, being led by Nancy, to actually propose those changes. And to try to get those pushed through. I think that you might get a more sympathetic ear to get that through the Senate than you think right now at this point, if you actually put together a bill that wasn't insane like any of the other stupid repeal bills that had been proposed, but actually something that would actually, you know, just fix some of the just issues that I've identified.
Just because after this last election, the Republicans know that this issue has actually been hurting them, so they might be more willing to cooperate.
Yes.
And Trump himself has expressed it various times in the past. He's willing to work with the Democrats on things like this.
He has been willing to sign. He keeps saying, and I think he wants to take credit, to sign something that makes it better. I do think that if he gets a proposal on the table that actually would make stuff better, he would sign it because he would love to take credit for it.
But now the Republican leadership in the Senate could still block it.
They could, but if you get, but you know, the pressure under on them would be enormous.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the House to pass a bill and you've got Trump saying I'm for it, and all that's stopping it is the Republican leadership. I mean, they're really in a box.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that, but I could also see the scenario of, you know, Trump and the Republicans in the Senate sort of hold firm. But then are the Democrats going to be doing the same kind of things the Republicans were doing with Obamacare when they weren't, when they didn't have the presidency, like a dozen times? And
no, I do think that usually, as I've seen Nancy Pelosi work, she will put forward a bill that is something that actually is a bill.
Well, I mean,
you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Listen, the Republicans were just voting something that they didn't even want to pass. Right. Okay. If Nancy's going to put forward a bill, it's going to be a bill that she's hoping that if they would be happy if it passed. You understand the difference? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. But at the same time, it's still sort of a thing. And this is one of the fundamental questions the Democrats will have to decide on, is do they want to start trying to pass essentially purely symbolic bills that say this is what the Democratic priority is and agenda is, even though we know.
No, I think that passing if you're going to pass a bill, no, you don't want to do that. You want to pass. You want to try to pass a bill because you want to make sure that
people's health care. I'm not saying it's not a real bill, but if you know it's never going to pass the Senate and it's never going to pass Trump, do you still go through the motions of passing it from the House anyway to sort of define, here is what the Democrats would do if we were fully in power?
I think that if they completely don't want to play ball, I think you have to do that to at least put out there on the table what it is that you want. Because that, as I said for many years with the Republicans, I don't want to go back to that scenario where you're like, the Republican scenario. They kept repealing it, but they had no proposed alternative. They never did. Never did. No, I want to know what the alternative... I want to know... We do know that there are certain things in the Affordable Care Act that need to be fixed. I would love to see those fixes proposed. And I would like to see that as how... You know, staking your... You know, your line in the sand. This is what you're voting for if you vote Democratic. These are the things that you're going to get.
Okay. Let's move on. Topic two. And I think I said
actually
this
three, but you know, but
yeah, well, you know, we lost all that stuff, so it's not even worth like crying over it.
Technically three, even if we, you know.
Well, yeah, but I know, but it was before what these people have heard because they didn't hear the first one.
This
is the second one in the actual show, and I know I keep feeling bad. Like, we had a really good discussion on the Chiefs of Staff.
Yep, we did.
And all that, and it was awesome, and you guys will never hear it.
Nope, not really.
So anyway, my next one, though, is as expected, and I'll just... You do my usual caveat. No, my election graph stuff is not up yet for 2020. I'm hoping I'll have it out by the new year, but I suck. I know this. I'm sorry. I've been spending my time on other things. But as expected after the election, the talk about the 2020 presidential field is going nuts. People are, you know, there are a couple people who've...
Beto!
Apparently. Yes, I've called
it... There's Beto fever.
Betomania is what I'm
Betomania.
Calling it. Betomania. Like Beatlemania, but Betomania.
Something. Beto.
You know, and so lots of people have been talking about him. There's apparently, you know, one of CNN's polls on this stuff has, like, you know, number one, Biden, number two, Sanders, and now number three, Beto, who's, you know, come way up from where he was in whatever the last poll was. And I look at those top three, and I've said this on the show before. No white men, please.
White guys.
And especially the top two. No old white men, please. You know.
And I like Joe, you know, very much. Don't get me wrong, but I just think we need...
I like Joe too. The time has passed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's the same thing with Hillary. Okay, that's all done. Look, there's a lot of younger people. Let's look at those. Now, I'm not in agreement with, like, some people are saying that, I don't know, Ocasio should run, who's 28.
That's ridiculous.
This thing that is,
Matthew Iglesias put out something on that. It's
just preposterous. You know, it's preposterous to have anybody really, to me, under 40.
Well, specifically on the 28, you don't even meet the constitutional requirements. And Iglesias was saying she should run anyway and dare the Supreme Court to stop her.
That's just idiotic.
Yeah.
That's just
idiotic. I didn't even... I'll be honest. I didn't even read the article because it was so stupid on its face.
I didn't even read the article as well because it just... The whole premise of it was just idiotic.
And look, fundamentally, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, there are many, many, many problems with Donald Trump. One of them is his complete lack of experience. So yep. The Democratic response to this shouldn't be, let's pick somebody who also has no idea what they're doing.
Look, I at 28 thought I knew a hell of a lot more than I actually knew. Okay. Right. I would not, if you took my 47-year-old, would I vote for my 28-year-old to be president? I'd be right now as a 47-year-old that, like, fuck no. There's no way. It's just stupid.
And look, there are a lot of interesting things about Ocasio. And the fact that she's new and doesn't know things and is honest about it is actually quite refreshing.
Super refreshing, and I like her very much. It's not anything against her. I love her. I just it doesn't matter who the hell it is.
And
I'm not voting in somebody that young.
I've said before, like, I may disagree with her on all kinds of politics stuff, but the way that she's approaching things, the way that she's, like, it's sort of fresh, honest, the whole little Instagram live streaming from her apartment kind of stuff, all of that, where it's not the, like, heavily focus grouped, like, here's what we think we need to say in order to be popular. It's just like, oh, here's what I am, and I'm going to talk to you, and you can ask me questions, and blah, blah, blah. It's so refreshing. I don't want to run for president.
But look, at the same time, I'm sorry to tell you, what you're liking about her is the same thing that a lot of people think they like about Trump.
Yes.
And I'm like, I do think that it's okay. It plays when she's a congressman.
Yeah.
To be like that. Okay. I don't really think that when you go higher in the echelon of being in charge, it's really that great.
Look,
the main reason is quite simple, really. Okay. I have had a management philosophy for a long time that when you are the leader, okay, one of the things that you are is a filter of information, okay, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of people freak out easily, okay, and get scared. And you don't do anybody help as a service as a leader by scaring them by presenting everything that is going on all the time. That's your job, is to keep people to be calm, confident, everything's going to be okay. They don't need to see how the sausage is being cooked every damn day, okay? Mm. Because a lot of times that shit is scary, okay? And there is no reason for that, okay? That is why you filter what the hell is going on. That's why a president, I say again, should not be tweeting from the fucking toilet at 6 a.m. in the fucking morning.
Yes.
And if I were to get to a higher level position from where I am right now, gotta be blunt, but my Twitter use would like almost disappear.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't go Elon Musk style?
No. No, because that's a very irresponsible to his shareholders, to his employees, to everybody. He thinks it's being connected, and what it's doing, it's scaring the hell out of everybody that is supposed to be depending on him.
Right. So anyway, the 2020 field, we've got like Julian Castro throwing his thing in the ring. We've got everybody and their grandmother talking about, they're thinking about it. We've got like, you know, probably half of the Democrats in the Senate are talking about it. And so, look, it's going to be a really big field.
I don't think that will be a bad thing. I really don't think it's
here. Here's the thing, too. It's going to be really big, but it will thin quickly.
Yes.
I had joked a while ago about, you know, last time we had the debates and we had the kids table debate, and now we're going to need the kids table debate because we have so many of these goddamn things.
Yes.
But really, what we're going to see is maybe they're going to be like 50 of them thinking about it seriously. By the time we get halfway through this year, it'll be down to less than 25. By the time we're actually having like, you know, by the time we get to the end of the year, we may still have 10 to 20 candidates active, but there will be a clear top tier of maybe 5 that yes. anybody's taking seriously.
Probably less. I'll say probably like 3.
Yeah.
Really.
And there will probably be a clear front runner by then too. And actually, we're going to have our predictions show very soon. On our last show of the year.
Minter 2020.
And so, you know, it's that time again. We're going to be predicting who do we think will be the front runner by the end of the year and that kind of stuff. But yeah, this, it will start as a big field, but it will narrow. It will narrow relatively quickly. And, you know, you have all of these people talking about it. You know, as soon as we get past the new year, we're going to have an avalanche of people being a bit more serious. We'll have real names, and you'll have, you already have some people in Iowa and you already have people, their names, but you'll start getting the people who've said, oh, I'm thinking about it, actually say, yeah, I'm doing it. What was it? It was like 4 years ago, Hillary didn't officially announce until like April of the corresponding cycle, something like that. But we're going to get a lot of people.
Anybody going to announce again that going down a golden escalator or something? Well, Trump's going to do to announce his running for? He's going to run for re-election.
Given the way everything is working now, I fully expect somebody to do it in the middle of a bungee jump or something.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I just saw somebody that went and posted a video on the internet of something that looked like a zip line at first that was like up very high, like very, very high up. But then when the people rolled out a little bit forward and they had two steel cables and these two people in the harness with the thing and the whatever, they got dropped down like it was like 600 feet down from there. Okay. It's some kind of massive swing.
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way. I saw the video and it scared me just looking at the video. Okay. I mean, my heart like skipped a beat. I'm like looking at this and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, so yeah, maybe they could do it that way. An announcement like from that. What do you think? I mean, that would be, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, keep an eye out for electiongraphs.com. I'll be posting something very soon. I'll have a little bit of time between Christmas and New Year's. I'm going to try to get everything done then to at least get the initial versions of everything out. And we'll see. There'll be lots of people. We're talking about lots of people, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. Next topic.
Quick topic. The Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay.
At that White House. I'll just mention something.
Okay, go for it.
I came to a conclusion what they look like, really. Okay, in the end. Okay, yes. Under the Trump administration. Pete Sosa posted a picture of what Obama's White House and everybody else looked like, which is traditional Christmas decor. Trump administration, I almost ran over a possum, but I slammed the brakes and avoided them.
Oh, good job.
Yeah. In the Trump administration, it looks like a combination of between a haunted house and Vegas.
Okay.
It's really what they're going for.
I can see that.
It's so bizarre. Where the hell did these people get their Christmas decorating tips from? It's been 2 years of this shit.
Each year, they've provided plenty to make fun of. Okay.
Right, so basically, Christmas decor. They don't know how to do it. They're idiots.
Yes. Okay. Big surprise. Okay. We might as well hit like all of the big developments. I was going to bring up the new developments in the Flynn sentencing, but since you weren't here last week, we've got Flynn, Manafort, Cohen, all have had major developments over the last, couple weeks. What are your thoughts on all of this since you didn't get to say it last week?
I mean, it's like the pincer movement is in effect. What the hell else you want me to tell you? I mean, everything seems to be like a stepping stone and a building block towards showing how Trump is just, it's just committed a series of crimes, and to show it like step by step. And Butina, don't forget Butina too.
Yes, Butina too.
I mean, between Flynn, Butina, Cohen, who else am I forgetting?
Manafort.
Oh man. I mean, it just seems like every day that the walls are just being just circled around. Every time that Trump has some argument to try to show like how he's not supposedly like guilty of anything, it seems like every one of these just peels that every single one of those away. Okay. So that there is almost no arguments left, except like Giuliani finally reached this week. Well, he didn't kill anybody.
As far as we know so far.
As far as he knows.
Yeah.
It's not like he killed anybody. That's Giuliani's latest defense attempt now. He didn't kill anybody.
Well, and here's the thing. And I mentioned last week, like the one thing that has specifically named Donald Trump himself so far is the campaign finance violation stuff.
Correct.
You could already see a bunch of people saying, well, you know, it's a process thing. And well, maybe it wasn't really like he wasn't really trying to do the campaign. It was about Melania and blah, 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 blah. Look, there are a couple things. First of all, if we're looking for the magic moment where Republicans in the Senate start to flip in such a way that would make impeachment possible, we're not there yet. And campaign finance probably won't do it. But in the documents we've seen over the last couple weeks, they have pointers to all kinds of other stuff. Like the one thing that specifically was like Donald Trump directed this felony. Therefore he probably committed a felony too in doing that.
Correct.
But you know, his organization was involved in the reimbursement of Cohen, which is probably another set of felonies, which if it doesn't involve Donald Trump himself, involved his family. And then in all of the Cohen stuff, there are pointers to all kinds of cooperation on the Russia stuff. The Flynn stuff and has pointers to the Russia stuff. Exactly.
And now Butina.
And so like we don't have the direct connection of Donald Trump did this yet in the same way that we do with the Cohen.
But one thing,
but it seems like it's coming.
Okay, yeah. But here's one thing about the campaign finance violations that some people have been like defending Trump, saying, well, it has to be willful. He would have to know that kind of stuff could be a campaign finance violation. And then this evening, Sam saw, the reason he saw that that I was active was because as I was waiting for my luggage, I see this video that was posted of an interview with Donald Trump in 2012, okay, mm-hmm. in which he was being interviewed quite specifically about this in regards to the John Edwards case, okay?
Okay.
And in which, in the interview, it is very clear that he knows that these shenanigans with campaign finance funds. He was talking about the relationship and the money and the payoffs. Dude, the guy willfully knew that this was illegal.
Right.
It was not. You could take away any doubt whatsoever that this was just. And many times we talked about whether some of this stuff happened because you just didn't know or just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Whichever, whatnot. Bullshit. No, he knew.
And here's the thing. There's going to be more. I mean, it's so clear from what we've seen so far that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
You know, and
so much for Giuliani's, like, what the hell did he say back in April? What he was, it was
like last Thanksgiving or something. Or no, it was 2 weeks in April.
2 weeks. Oh, there'll be 2 weeks and this will be done. We're wrapping this up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I don't even think we're close now.
No, we're not. It's what I said. We're not even, given everything that Mueller just dropped this last 2 weeks, it is painfully clear that we are not even remotely close to done, okay? Given how extensive the Flynn cooperation had been. And, oh, by the way, Flynn's a fucking moron, okay, by the way. Because he went out on the precedent. It just said something that, you know what? Nobody, listen, anybody with a brain knows that what he said is absolutely moronic. Well, so, I didn't know that lying to the FBI was a crime.
But wait.
I'm like, are even, you joking?
Even more specifically, here's the thing. Mueller had done a statement that said, we're so glad he cooperated so well. He provided such great information. We recommend zero prison time. We are very, very, very happy with him. And his response to this is, they fucked me.
Oh my God, he's such an idiot. Oh wait, but they fucked me because they didn't tell me that lying to the FBI was a crime, which has to be the most asinine fucking excuse that he could ever come up with in his life. Okay? Especially for a career person that was a senior military officer, okay, that was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, to try to fucking tell me that he had that no idea that lying in a federal investigation is perjury is the biggest bunch of bullshit I ever heard in my life. Well,
and Mueller's response to that statement basically said exactly what you said.
Yes.
It's like, okay, stop this,
it's
bullshit.
A joke. I mean, I cannot believe that his attorneys, okay, went and actually put out that statement. I mean, it's just stunning to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Yvonne, are you home?
I am.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. Is there any last thing that you want to grab, bring up before?
What are the other things that we didn't talk about?
There's dozens of them. The next thing, the AMI non-prosecution deal was related to the kind of stuff that we had.
There you go. That's another one that goes into like the walls caving in on Trump. I mean, my God, now we find out that AMI is fully cooperating with them and is telling them that basically that's more campaign finance violations as well. And then you had the other thing. Oh, the beauty one, which was the whole inauguration fucking scam.
Oh, yes,
scam.
The inauguration. Yes, yes.
The fucking inauguration scam, which is a fucking scam.
Which was funneling money into the Trump organization.
Right. Taking money from the donations and funneling directly to the fucking Trump organization. Well, and that they were warned that they were overcharging for what the fuck that they were providing. And they still didn't give a shit. They wanted to fucking take, they wanted to do the goddamn money grab.
Well, and also, it's not just that, but also some of the donors to the inauguration fund were apparently straw men set up that were actually fronts for foreign governments that were donating the money.
Right.
Yeah, so they're all that kind of stuff.
Let's be clear about this, okay? Right now, at this moment, what the fuck is it crooked that we know about the Trump, about Trump right now, okay? I mean, the Trump organization with all this money going around, the whole thing with AMI, the fucking, like, Trump charity, okay, all right, which was just a front for him to fucking funnel money. The whole Trump, the damn inauguration. I mean, what the hell has this motherfucker done that is not? And then I love this excuse this week. Well, but Trump, but Clinton got, he was, you guys are saying the perjury so bad. I mean, Clinton was committed to perjury. Yes, that's true. Clinton was guilty of perjury. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Except the problem is that he lied about something that wasn't a crime. He wasn't covering up a crime. Mm-hmm. He was just embarrassed about the affair. Okay?
Right.
So this, all this lying is to cover up a whole bunch of crimes, you idiots. That's why it's so fucking different.
Indeed. So, Yvonne, it is what, like almost 3 a.m. there?
Yeah.
So, we will not talk about Chuck and Nancy versus Trump. We will not talk about the Brexit.
Oh, no, come on. We got to cover that one. No,
if you want to stay awake for a little while longer, fine. Chuck and Nancy and Trump.
No, we got to cover at least that one. Okay.
And then after that, I'll mention my next topic and you'll get excited too, but go ahead.
All right. So it's a dog and pony show at the White House.
Yes.
With these folks.
And we'll just keep going. No break. Go ahead.
What a fucking joke. I mean, so Trump invites like Chuck and Nancy over there, right? To try to embarrass them, I guess.
That worked
oh so well. I mean, honestly, Nancy just fucking like they just slam dunk on his head. Both Nancy and Chuck.
Over and over again,
yes. Okay, he looked like a moron. His entire exchange. And then to make it worse, he decided to go and say that stupid thing. Fine, it's gonna be the Trump shutdown. And everyone's like, Chuck cannot contain his laughter.
Yes, he was thrilled. Like they played him completely.
Oh God, yes.
And
Pence is sitting there like, I mean, I'm like, what the hell was Pence there for again? He didn't even say a word. He just sat there like a fucking like little elf.
Well, I mean, and the preview that all this provides is just between investigations and this kind of stuff, it is going to be so much fun to watch the changed dynamics once the Democrats take office on January 3rd.
There was what I'm saying about that, my whole thing, that, one thing is that so many people saying that Nancy, whether she should be in this job or not, let me tell you something. If there's one day that convinced me that Nancy is the right person for that job, was that day. Okay. All right. I mean, that is just, you want to frame one moment of why she's the right person for the job, was that right there.
Well,
and then the way that she went to him very calmly when he kept going and whatever, and what she went and just fucking told him, you know what? You won't win.
Right. I mean, there are a couple things there. One important part you just mentioned is the staying calm, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
She doesn't take the bait. She doesn't start yelling at him. She just continually sort of, this is the right thing. No, you're wrong. We're going to do this. And how about this, Mr. President? And blah, blah, blah. Whereas, he's used to trying to like get people aggravated and angry and play off that. And like, she wasn't buying into any of that.
Nope.
The second is sort of related is the real time if he says something that's bullshit, calling it out and not being afraid to do so.
Oh, my God, because she just has her facts, like, just straight in her fucking head, left and right.
So
she was just like, I mean, she just, like, hammered him left and right over every single thing that he said that was just bullshit.
And one of the sad things is this is what the press should be doing, too. But the press, or at least large segments of the press, seem to be thinking it's not their job. Their job is to report what he says and blah, 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 and or maybe fact check it later. But no, that sort of real time, if the president says something that's bullshit, calling it out and saying, no, that's bullshit, right on the spot. No, Mr. President, you're wrong. No, Mr. President, you're wrong. The press needs to get a lot fucking better at that. Like, it's one thing if it's like, you know, person A saying, I think this would be best, and person B saying, I think that'll be best. But when it's flat out, like, saying things that just aren't true, yes, it's your job to call it out in real time as it's happening. If you're even bothering to broadcast it live, which half the time you shouldn't be, because you know it's all going to be bullshit. So have it happen, then fact check it all, and then only report on anything you said that's actually true. And then say, and he lied a lot.
Yeah.
Without repeating the lies. Because the press keeps, like, even this week, there were headlines from the AP, the Washington Post, several others, where they just, the president said blah, and blah was a flat out lie, but that wasn't reflected in the headline. It's like, we've had 2 years of this.
The problem is that too many people don't read past the headlines. That's the problem. And so, yeah, when you do that, then you're really not doing a good job. That's just the way it is right now. You need to change how you report this guy, because this guy is just such an out of control liar. And it's just the lies. It's just a whole fucking string and wall of lies. And every time that something happens, something changes, then you change your story to, oh, well, that lie didn't work, then I'll make the other lie. I mean, the one lie that he was playing at the meeting with Nancy and Chuck, the one where he said, oh, well, the wall's almost built, I'll get the military to finish it. I mean, he's actually telling his supporters that the wall's been built.
Yeah, and not a damn thing. The only thing that's happened were repairs that were planned anyway.
Right. But he's telling his supporters the wall has been built. And I'm sure they will believe him.
Okay. The one last thing. Do you have an opinion on Brexit?
They're fucked. they're fucked. I mean, they're fucked. It's quite simple. I had on our Slack, like, shared the different scenarios that they've got right now. The EU is not going to renegotiate on what the hell it is. The deal that's on the table is about the best deal that you can get on a fucking Brexit that is not a disaster. But nobody likes it. The people who want to stay in don't like it. The people who wanted to leave don't like it because it's not the unicorn that they were promised.
So, speaking of unicorns, there's a brilliant thread that I'm going to read you right now. For those of you who haven't seen this, by Hugo Rifkind. Did you see this, Yvonne? I retweeted it at one point, but I don't know if you caught it.
No, I don't recall right now.
Okay, so this is one of the most concise, most accurate descriptions of the whole Brexit thing that I have heard yet. And so I'm just going to read the whole thing. Again, it's by Hugo Rifkind. He tweeted this thread on December 10th. Okay, here we go. The thing is, the best way to understand Theresa May's predicament is to imagine that 52% of Britain had voted that the government should build a submarine out of cheese.
Yes.
Now, Theresa May was initially against building a submarine out of cheese, obviously, yes, because it's a completely insane thing to do.
Correct.
However, in order to become PM, she had to pretend that she thought building a submarine out of cheese was fine and could totally work.
Yes, correct.
Cheese means cheese, she told us all madly. Then she actually built one. It's shit, Of course it is. For God's sake, are you stupid? It's a submarine built out of cheese.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now, having built a shit cheese submarine, she has to put up with both Labour and Tory Brexiteers insisting that a less shit cheese submarine could have been built.
Correct.
They're all lying, and they know it. So does everybody else. We've covered this already. I know, but it's cheese, and it's a submarine. How good could it possibly be?
Yes.
Only she can't call them out on this because she has spent the past 2 years also lying by pretending she really could build a decent submarine out of cheese.
Right.
So that's where we are. On balance, I think this analogy works fine, perhaps except for the submarine and cheese parts, which need a little work.
Yes, but that's, I think, an excellent explanation of what the fuck is going on over there.
That was brilliant. And
look, I mean, now, what are the options right now? I honestly think that if I were in their shoes, I would right now, even like at least. So they've explained that by, legally, the UK could back out of
the call to Brexit. The EU made it went up the chain into, like, I forget what body decided this, but they went through and said, look, yes, they can back out. If they want to back out, they can.
My point about this is that, look, even you could back out even temporarily until you try to find a better solution. And then if you don't, that at least you say, if I were me, I'd just say, listen, I'm withdrawing look, we have no solution. I'll work with the PMs and we'll make a vote to just withdraw until we find a better working solution. That's it. And if you don't find it, then you stay in, and that's it. But I think that it's just crazy. Just keep going forward on something that, as you mentioned, it's a cheese fucking submarine right now. It sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're done.
Yes. Yvonne, go to bed. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another Curmudgeon's Corner. It's the shortest one we've done in years, so if you enjoy that,
it was meant to be longer, but unfortunately,
we would have actually made it, like, it would have been 15 minutes longer if we hadn't lost. But we
had technical difficulties.
So. Yeah. It just, the recording thing froze after 10 seconds, and I didn't notice until we recorded like a whole topic in
20 minutes.
Yeah, we'd recorded about 20 minutes. I suck. I know. I'm sorry. But you know, all the usual, facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner, leave your comments there. Like us. If you really like us, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner, leave us a little tip at $2 a month or more. You get on our Curmudgeons Corner Slack, a little chat room. We talk throughout the week. It's lots of fun. You can reach Yvonne on Twitter at IMBO, IMBOU. I'm on Twitter at Abulsme, ABULSME. You can send us feedback via email at feedback@curmudgeons-corner.com. And finally, if you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps us as well. And I think that's it. And again, apologies for the short show, but at least you got both of us talking instead of me talking to myself, which was what was going to happen. And sorry you missed the part about the chief of staff. And, you know, but, you know, Trump had trouble finding one, and now he's got one, and it's temporary, and we'll see what's next. There you go. Everybody, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Bye.
Sleep.